Thank you, Sean, for that. I learn something every time I get around that guy. And he said he gets depressed every time he gets around me. How many of you are here from out of state? Raise your hand. Look at this. So when did you first hear I was preaching? Okay, a little bit of housekeeping. We have children in here. Do you know when the baby Jesus was born, he cried? And just imagine all the things babies do. He did those things. So tonight, as we have these children in here that will probably interrupt and probably make noise, it's okay. Okay? You don't have to look at them to know that their child is making noise. What we're going to do, we're just going to ignore it. We're going to keep going. Amen? All right. Christmas. I'll tell you what, when I was a kid, I was so excited about Christmas. I love Christmas. One year I told the story about a ping pong table I got. The best gift I probably ever got. Remember Man from U.N.C.L.E., the show? I got one of those briefcases. And you loaded plastic bullets in the end of it, and you could squeeze the trigger, and they'd shoot out the briefcase. It had invisible ink in it. It was the best present I ever got. I love Christmas, and I can't believe that this is the last Christmas of this decade. Can you believe that? You know, when I was born in 1973, when I graduated from high school in 1973, I thought in the year 2000, I will be 45 years old. That is going to be so old. And January 1, I get Medicare. I can't imagine. The other thing I want to say is between the Christmas carols we sang, Ken's Prayer, the Advent, there's not much else I can say about Christmas. They covered it all. But I do want to say a couple things. First of all, I want to remember that anthem that we don't sing on our Christmas Eve service, which I think we should sing. And I'll just remind you of some of the words. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. That's the one we should be singing. That's the one we live by, right? Last Sunday, who did I ask to give me one word about Christmas? Yeah, okay. Carrie asked first. She goes, Jesus. Well, that was a hard one. Here's my top 10. I didn't survey 100 people. Here's my top 10. One word, describe Christmas in one word I asked. And these are no particular order. Well, the number one's number one, right? Jesus is number one. Number two, I have family. Three, I have giving. Four, I have salvation. Five, I have lights. Six, I had hope. Seven, I had peace. Eight, joy. Nine, love. They were going through the Christmas carols at that point. And number 10, life. In one word, that's how they described it to me. But I'm a realist, and I want to get real with you guys. That was at church, all right? But here's some stuff we think about. If we were really honest, Santa Claus, right? Parades, money / debt. Who in here spent more money than you should have this year? Come on, be honest. Candy, raise your hand. Good for you. Food, chipmunks, I heard it the first time a while ago. Crowds, carols, stress, traveling, and in-laws. Those are some of the other things about Christmas, right? I know in-laws is two words, but it counts as one. So here's what I want to say. And before you throw anything at me, I want to make this clear. The most important thing about Christmas is the gifts. That's the most. Who has a tree? Who's got gifts under the tree? Who has lots of gifts under the tree? Who has stuff under the tree that some people really don't need? Okay. Interesting fact I found here. It was from the National Retail Federation. The average American spends $700 on holiday gifts and goodies. And that totals more than $465 billion. I wonder how many signs sold that said, "He is the reason for the season." $465 billion. About 65% of the American citizens proclaim to be Christians. So if you take 65% of that, the Christians spent about $275 billion on gifts to give away at Christmas. Now, here's my thought on gifts, and I'm not going to take a long time to explain this because I want to get into the scripture, and it's a very short scripture. It's one you should know, but there are five parts to any gift. The first part is the giver of the gift, right? And that's most of y'all. You are giving a gift. Everybody gave a gift. If you didn't give enough gifts, my wife and I are accepting gifts. Well, I started to say expecting. That's just had a whole new meaning to it. But we are the giver of the gift. You have to have a giver of the gift, right? That's got to be number one. The second thing is you have to have a motive for the gift. Now, I don't know what your motives are. Sometimes it's obligation. You know, they're in your family. Sometimes you give them a gift out of guilt. Sometimes you give them a gift out of compassion or whatever reason. There's a motive behind giving the gift. And then the third part is the gift itself. So if you're a giver and you have a motive, you have to have the gift itself. And according to this, $465 billion were spent on those gifts. Some were big gifts. Some were little gifts. Some were meaningful gifts. Some were meaningless gifts. But you have to have a gift. And then you have to have somebody that receives the gift. Okay, if you are a giver and you bought a gift and you didn't give it to anybody, you just bought yourself something. Okay? Right? So you gotta be the giver, and then you have to have a motive for that gift, and then you have to have the gift, and you have to have somebody receiving that gift. And then the final, and it could be a lot of different words for this regarding the gift. It could be the blessing of the gift. It could be the consequences of the gift. It could be the ramifications of the gift. But there's got to be some kind of reaction there, right? There's got to be something that happens after that gift is given. I heard on the radio they were talking about people that give gifts that are dropping hints. And here's a for instance. If you bought your spouse a treadmill, you know, it's probably, or a cookbook, smoke detector, there's all kinds of things that would insinuate something when you bought them that gift. And you all have given those gifts, and I'm sure you have received those gifts. So there's a motive for that. So when I'm thinking about all this, I'm thinking about the gift of Jesus. That was a gift from God. And I was thinking about what exactly was that? What exactly did that mean? What exactly and why exactly did that happen? Well, you see, years and years ago, there was two people named Adam and Eve. And they sinned. And when they sinned, they become separated from God. There was a wall built between them and God. there was he couldn't communicate, he couldn't commune with them like he had in the Garden of Eden, because he can't tolerate sin. And then he set up all these covenants to where the blood paid for the sins of the past. But that blood was only so good for so many sins, the sins in the past. So to pay for all the sins, there had to be that special gift. I think the term in the Bible is propitiation, that perfect gift, that perfect sacrifice. So he had a plan. He had a plan from the beginning. I'm going to tell you, you may not know this, but when God created Adam and Eve, he knew they were going to sin. He knew it. He knew you were going to be here tonight. He knows if you've been naughty or nice. So he had a plan. And see, the great plan started with a baby. It initiated with that birth of that baby. That started the great plan. So I want you to think about a verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever shall believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that a great verse? Isn't that a great verse? How many times have you heard that verse? But I want to take it and I want to apply those five parts of that gift to that verse. Because you had to have a giver of the gift, right? And God was the giver of the gift. In fact, all the gifts that you have in your life, everything you have in your life, are blessings from God. You may not see it now, but I read someplace, I can't remember where it was. It must have been the New York Times, because I saw on TV they tell the truth. But I read that all things work out for those who believe, those who follow Jesus. That he has this plan and all of them work out. And the baby Jesus was part of that plan, because the baby Jesus was God in the flesh. In John it says, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you go down to, I think it's verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh. You see, he needed a perfect sacrifice, one that was absolutely perfect to cover all the sins, past, present, and future. And the only unblemished Lamb of God is God himself. That's all he could do. So he initiated that plan and he sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, to earth. So God was the giver of the gift. And then remember, we said we had to have a motive for the gift. Well, his motive was love. As much as we hated being separated from God, he hated being separated from us, because he loves us. He loves the entire world, for God so loved the world. He loves us. And that's what motivated him to give that gift. So we have the giver of the gift, we have the motive for the gift, and then we have the gift, the baby Jesus, God himself, came to be with us. You know, as I think about the songs that we sing, Away in the Manger, O Little Town of Bethlehem, not Santa Claus is Coming to Town, but when I think about those, and I think about how perfect that plan was, it's just amazing, isn't it? I'm just in awe of that. So I titled this sermon Et, that means it's a little shorter, The Perfect Gift. I told my granddaughter Olivia, I said, the title of my sermon is going to be The Perfect Gift. And she goes, oh, Papa, you're going to preach about me? Almost. But think about it. It was the perfect gift at the perfect time in history. Everything about it was perfect. So he gave us that gift. But see, you can't have a gift without somebody receiving the gift. And he says, whosoever believes in him, that's us. Those that have received Christ have received that gift that was given some 2,000 years ago in that manger. And the blessing of that gift is eternal life with him. What else can you say? What else is Christmas about? We say it's all about Jesus, yet we go out and we spend our money like crazy. We're either giving love or buying love or whatever reason. But the true gift of Christmas took all five of those things to make the plan work. And the receiving of that goes on and on until the coming of Christ. See, I am such a blessed man. God has blessed me with a wonderful family, a wonderful marriage, wonderful friends. Is this being recorded? And a wonderful mother-in-law. God has blessed me so much. But the best blessing came when I received that gift. Because you have to receive the gift to receive the blessings of the gift. That's it. That's Christmas. That's what it's all about. We get so hung up on some of this other stuff. So I want to take some time right now. I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'd like for you to bring to mind those family members, those dear friends, those that you work with, that need the gift of Jesus. That need to receive that gift to have the blessing of eternal life. As Chris plays some music, I just want us to be silent for a while. And I want you to pray that God would touch them during this season, that would draw them to him. Just think of them. Cry out in your heart by name. A child, mother or father, brother or sister. Father, as we lift these names up to you in prayer, you've already given the gift because you love the world so much. You've already given the gift of your Son. So, Lord, we lift those up that need to receive him, that need that blessing of eternal life. And Lord, we think about this during the Christmas season. But Lord, I pray that this would just be the beginning of bringing them to our hearts all year long until we see you work in their lives. Father, I pray for those that are hurting. Because of loved ones lost, broken families, financial issues. Father, I pray that you would have your hand upon our families tomorrow as we look at all the things that we have purchased and given and the laughs and the joy. That we would remember the greatest gift ever given, the perfect gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we take communion, I pray we realize what He did for us and what He gave up for us, that we might spend eternity with you. That's in Jesus' name, amen.